Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to today continue in the series, which two-part series, last week and this week, dealing with why your season never fails. So go to Psalms chapter 1, first division of the book of Psalms, and let's take a look at verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And our key verse is verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Now that is a mighty promise from a mighty God. It's a conditional promise. And it's the basis of our statement that your season never fails. Now we're going to review a bit and go into our second part today, but let me repeat a couple of things. First of all, we are in a place of seasons, Midwest Indiana. We have very distinct summer, fall, winter, spring. Now, we were in Hawaii. You know, my wife and I were there 2 weeks ago for our anniversary celebration, a vacation. And that place has no seasons. Now, some places in the world have no seasons. Well, the thing about in a place, living in a place with seasons is that we're oftentimes we're affected by the cold, by the heat. Today is cloudy and rainy. I noticed that last Sunday was a nice Sunday. Y'all came in smiling and all bubbly. But see, today is cloudy and rainy. Now, we still have joy on the inside. My point, though, is we're affected by these seasons and by changes in weather and such. And which is normal. Now, in Hawaii, as I said to you last time, I noted that all the people I met were just nice. I mean, the people at the hotel were nice. The Uber driver was nice. The Starbucks person was nice. Everybody was nice. Like, why y'all so nice? And it came to me, they live in a nice place. Every day is sunny, almost every day is sunny, and the same temperature, 80, 85 degrees, never hot, never cold. Now, again, that's okay, good for them, good for them. And that's why I purposed 2 years ago to stop complaining about winter. I stopped complaining about winter. Now, it may slip out, I may every now and then grumble a little bit, but I decided this. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible said, "This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it." Well, if Christ is the same, and he said he made this day, and I should rejoice in it, then why would I let the seasons or the weather affect my mood? That's important because I believe that the bigger issue is I wonder if we're even letting these natural seasons and conditions around us affect how we see ourselves in God. Because the season of God in your life has nothing to do with the seasons in this world. Even the conditions of the world, price of gas, who's president, none of that affects your status in God. You believe that? So we know it's true intellectually, but it looks like that we still react to stuff around us and get distracted from our season in God. So then we've had in the past 2 weeks all these murders going on. It's just been a crazy time in this city, in this world. But it has been that way all your life. It's not worse. It's the same. We hear more about it. The news is more pervasive. Your season in God never fails. Say, my season never fails. And the reason is what the psalmist said in Psalm 1, verse 3, "You shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water." Now, You can be like a tree. You can be like a weed. You can be like whatever you want to be. But if you choose to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers, then you're going to be able to put down your roots, and those roots can go deep, and you can grow with all the resources the water can provide. He said there that he says, that brings forth its fruit in its season. Well, the tree that's planted by the river can bring forth fruit. It has the resources it needs to bring forth what it's designed to bring forth. He says that its leaf will not wither. Sometimes, you know, in times of drought, plants wither for a lack of moisture, for a lack of water. But when you plant it by a river of water, the source is always right there beside you. And then he says, and whatever he does shall prosper. So say, Lord, thank you. I'm going to be like a tree planted by the river. And that's what I believe a season is about. What God showed me in this teaching, the simple concept is that your season begins, whatever season it is, it begins when you are planted by a river of water. When you're planted by a source or a resource, that's when the season can begin. So see your life the same way. Whatever it is in your life, whatever educationally, relationally, financially, in ministry, in all manner of purpose, when you get planted near the source, your season can begin. You got that? That's all last week, so you can go to the podcast. You can watch that. It's also a video and audio podcast at my blog website. He involves us. We're involved with the creation of our season. Now we don't make it happen. He does it. But God engages us. And therefore, we need to recognize that our season begins by being planted in whatever purpose it is God has for us. So a season is defined as this. I define a season as a fruitful space in time that comes out of seeds of obedience to God that we have sown. Now, that's a good statement, I believe. And test that statement. Test it with scripture references. You can test it with your own life and your own witness and testimony that when you have sown seeds of obedience to God, that allowed you to become planted and allowed God to bring forth a season of fruitfulness in your life. You believe that? So again, a season isn't just what happens to you or something you just hope for. It starts by being planted beside a resource. And again, as the psalmist said, that he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. So stay close to your sources. Stay close to God. Stay close to mentors. Stay close to your church, your pastor. Stay close to the sources. Stay close to your Bibles. Amen. Whether your Bible is a printed Bible here or a Bible in your iPad or phone, I mean, stay close to your sources, because without those sources, you cannot be like a tree that can bring forth fruit and not wither. You got that? Amen. That's all last week's, but it's good to repeat that again anyway, because we want to be clear that our seasons don't fail. Seasons don't fail. We just sometimes are not paying attention. We don't show up. We're out of position. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You see that? In fact, read with me, please. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Wow. So while our part in a season is not the most important part, it's still an important part. Whatever God does is always more important than what you're doing. But what you're doing is a part of what God is doing. So God is still saying to us that without faith, you can't please him. That's why even when I have a headache, a plain old common cold, I'm thanking God I'm healed. Amen. And I'll take an aspirin or something or orange juice. I'm going to always exercise my faith in whatever I'm dealing with. Amen? I mean, if a storm is coming, so well, praise God, he'll keep us safe from the storm. Amen. Amen. If the house blow away, well, I survived it. Praise God. The house is over there. I'm over here still. Amen. I mean, you got to find some way to show some faith. Amen. I'm not saying we have wishful thinking. We are denying a circumstance. No, you can acknowledge the circumstance that it's real and it hurts and it's bad, but go straight from there and talk about what you believe God's going to do about it. Amen. Don't ever leave a situation with a complaint or with the concern. Wrap that thing up with what you believe God's going to do. Amen. Like I always tell you, when you're not feeling well, don't ask yourself how you feel. Ask yourself, what do I believe? Because you feel bad. But what do you believe? What do you believe? How you feel won't bring you through the circumstances. How you feel won't bring you through. What you believe will bring you out, will bring you through. It'll invite God in on that situation. That's how seasons don't fail, because we just trust God all the way through. Now look at, let's go to Acts chapter 1. And let's look at this again before I launch off to my notes for today. Now, Acts 1. Now, the believers who gathered in the upper room are a great example of this principle of how the tree is planted by a source and how the fruitfulness comes out of that. And so Jesus and Luke gave them instruction to go up to Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Father. In fact, let me go to Luke first, Luke 24. Let's go there first. Luke 24. Now, this is what Jesus, at the end of that chapter, his encounter with them before he was received up into glory, he said, we read these words, verse 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day. All right, he told them that. Verse 47, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So he told them what he planned to do, that the purpose of him coming was to empower them to be able to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins, beginning at Jerusalem. Very clear instruction. Then he said, and you've witnessed these things now. You've seen me do all these things. Now I'm going to send to you what my Father promised. That is the Holy Spirit and the power of God. So they have one job. Their one job is to go stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then we pick up in Acts chapter 1, they went to the upper room. They were staying together in a place we call upper room, a big space, okay? And so they were following the instructions, weren't they? They were following instructions, and so they were like a tree being planted beside a resource. Now, they all went over to Judea somewhere, or hung out, but Bethesda, no, that's the wrong place. He didn't say go over. He said wait in Jerusalem, right? How many times do we really miss out on a season just because we're not doing the one job he gave us? See, God didn't tell you got to bring the power, make the power happen. No, you just go over there and wait for me. That's your only job. Go over here and wait on me. You go over there for a minute, you jump out. Oh, I got to go to the show. I got to go to the store. I need some coffee. There's a time you got to shut yourself down. We heard what God said, but that's been since all clouded by everything else we have heard said. And we have left the place where God said, wait. And we have stopped paying attention to what God is saying. Because listen, y'all, it isn't just about what God said. It's about what God is saying. Amen. got to keep hearing what God is saying. He keeps giving instruction for those who have ears to hear, right? So it says, verse 13, Acts 1, and when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, verse 14, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So Jesus' mother was there and brothers were there. All right, all the key people were in that room. The people that God wanted to use to start the church, to start the movement of God we call today the church, began in a singular room. It began with a planting. It began with a planting beside a river of God's power. And I suggest to us that you don't get anything done without following that same pattern where you plant yourself and you get something done. You stay planted beside the source until you begin to receive what you need. Amen? I mean, all of us, you know, all of us who got through school, I mean, any kind of school, high school, college, training, military, whatever you've gotten through is because you planted yourself right there beside that source. And you stayed in there until you received what you're supposed to receive. And then people who have not completed something is because they jumped out. They got out. You know, they got bored, they got tired, they got too hard, you know, whatever. I suggest that get on back into that place. I mean, go back over there. I mean, I don't see trees running around. For one, it's not even logical because a tree cannot develop roots without staying in the same spot. Amen. Right? So obviously a tree that's moving around like that is a dead tree. Our season begins when we are planted. I think that's clear. Acts 2. And it says this, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the power of God came, and they began to bear fruit, and the rest of the book of Acts and the rest of the Bible, and our lives today, our church, everything began in that room, in that room. And I suggest to you, everything begins in your room, in your house, in your space. When you sow the seeds of obedience to God, every good thing will begin the same way in your life. Now, I can prove it because look back over your life. The good things that have come to you have come through the same principle. In fact, I can also say the bad things that have come to you have come because you jumped out of your place, ran with some people, went over there with somebody, got in the car with somebody. We know what messes us up. I suggest what makes us prosper and makes us fruitful is being planted the way God says. What we need to do is focus on getting ourselves in position to be planted beside rivers of water so that we can receive what God wants to do. All right, let me go on now. Now, today I'm going to talk about the season of sharpening. Say the season of sharpening. Let's look at our text in Ecclesiastes 10. Make three points about your season of sharpening. There's three connections you need to have in your season of sharpening to become planted and fruitful in your season in God. Number one is to connect with God. Number two is to connect with your purpose and your assignment. And number three is to connect with key people. Three connections: with God, with your assignments, and with key people. Those are critical connections to entering into your season. And Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10 says this: if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. But if you ever have used an axe before or saw, that a dull axe, a dull saw, a dull knife in your kitchen, it makes your work harder, doesn't it? Amen. So the text said, if the axe is dull You don't sharpen the edge, you must use more strength. So my point yesterday was, or last week was, that people say, I just feel tired. I just feel tired. I slept all night and I just feel so tired. I suggest you feel tired because you're doing things with a dull edge. Whatever it is. If you got dullness in your marriage relationship, dullness in your finance, dullness in whatever it is, if there's dullness in that, you have to use more strength to get something done. That makes sense? I'd further say that a dull knife is actually dangerous, right? I mean, a dull knife in the kitchen is a bad deal, isn't it? You're trying to cut that chicken with a dull knife and you might slip. So a sharp knife, a sharp axe is the key. So if the axe is dull, sharpen it. Now, I'm going to give some sharpening tips here. Sharpening stones, I call this. I pray that you'll go beyond hearing it and get into doing it. Do something with what you've heard today. That's the whole key to learning and training, is doing something with what you're hearing. Matter of fact, here's a consequence to not being a doer. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says this. It says, through laziness, the rafters sag. Because of idle hands, the house leaks. You know? So sometimes stuff is going wrong with us and around us because we've not dealt with it. We've not been diligent. We've been lazy. We've not been on our game. We've been dull. Well, be a doer of the word. Number two, prayer. Now, prayer goes without saying, but we've got to say it. Prayer, all manner of prayer, corporate prayer, private prayer, intercession, supplications, agreement, every kind of prayer. Prayer is one sharpening stone that we must have in our lives to keep us sharp and help us be in our season. Number three is true worship. I say true worship because everybody worships. People do worship sports, they worship brands, they worship clothing, but true worship, as Christ defined it, is worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. So true worship is you set aside all the things that you like and just focus on God. Amen. Him only. Not the things you like, but only God. Number four is fellowship. Like in church, like now. Hebrews 10:24-25 tell us it's important to fellowship because some have the practice of not assembling together. Okay? So for a lack of coming together, we miss one of those key connection points. Again, we connect with God, connect with our purpose, and connect with key people. You cannot deny how much people have helped you. In fact, I believe all my blessings have come because of God and other people. Amen. All my blessings, God and other people. So those key people in my life, of course, your parents and your pastors and mentors and coaches, these are all key people that we must be connected to. And fellowship is really the word that talks about coming together, being with people of purpose, with key people. Without those people, we don't really rise as high as we can. And with the wrong people, you go low. Number five, preparation. 2 Timothy, the text talks about Paul telling Timothy about the importance of being prepared to minister and being in the Word and reading the Bible and all that. So preparation is necessary to be sharpened. These are all sharpening stones. Number six, number's off here, but number six, it says seven, but it's six, is accountability. Now, this is a big one that people really miss out on because accountability isn't that somebody is running your life or somebody is controlling you. No, accountability is that somebody knows where you are, what you're doing. Because somebody should know how you are, where you are, what you're doing, how you're doing. Because people who are not accountable to other people and to God, most of all, they tend to degrade in their habits. They tend to degrade in their habits. And people who are not accountable, they tend to break ethical guidelines and ethical things or become illegal. I mean, people do really weird things when they don't feel accountability or become answerable to somebody else. And so when you're not answerable to somebody, then you think, hey, I'm king. Yeah, I do what I want to do. And yet, we don't understand that that attitude has ruined many, many people. No accountability. No accountability. So it's important to be accountable. Then number eight, faith. We said earlier, this is important. Faith in Hebrews talk about the importance of faith. 2 Corinthians, Proverbs 11, verse 4 says this. He who observes the wind will not sow. Now, that goes to faith in the sense that if you don't have faith in God, then you're watching everything else around you. And if you watch the wrong things and distracting things, then you will miss the opportunity to sow or do your due diligence or what God wants you to do because you're watching all this other stuff going on. This wind's blowing and all that. I would sow, but the wind's blowing. So we find excuses in our circumstances for not doing what God said. So have faith and do what God said regardless. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, and 7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not waiting on the conditions to be perfect before I do what God said. I'm going to do what God said. I don't care what conditions look like. Amen? And hey, I found out too, if you do what God said, conditions often change. When you step into what God said, the conditions change. And then finally, teaching and training. Number 9, sharpening stone. Teaching and training. Being taught, being trained. Sitting yourself down in a class, in a workshop, in front of somebody who can teach you and who can hold you accountable to what you're being taught. And these are all ways in which we are sharpened in the Lord. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I've been training Sean Carter, amen, she's in ministry training. In fact, we have a date now for her licensing, May the 5th. Amen. Yeah, her licensing, okay? And we've been going over these things, and here's a principle all ministers, all leaders, all Christians should understand this. He said, but to those who are called to preach, especially 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word.
Amen. I like that, straight up, preach the word.
I heard a message on podcast yesterday, and a person was preaching and carrying on and talking, like, okay, now, when do we hear some word now, okay? You know, that's your opinion. So far, I'm hearing your opinion. And I never did hear scripture. I heard a reference to scripture, but that was a message not based in scripture. Now, you can say things from your understanding. I get that. But if it's supposed to be a sermon and a message from God, then where's the word? He said, preach the word. He said, preach your opinion. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine or teaching. For the time will come, or the time has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, right? So they'll find somebody to say what they want to hear. Or worse, they'll say what you want them to say. That's the worst kind of preacher, you know. Somebody going to say what they want you to say. You know, I mean, listen, y'all, we're into blessing people. I believe in that. But blessing come all kind of ways. That the message you hear, you might go away saying, I didn't like that. I did not like that. Well, praise the Lord. Because what you don't like, it may have been what you really needed to hear. And later on, you'll think, you know what? That was the right word. I didn't like it, but it was the right word, see? So we have to understand that there's two keys here. One key is say popular. The second key is pertinent. Now watch this on the screen here. Now we're in a time where leaders should not bring what is popular, we should bring what is pertinent. The word popular defined means and supported by many people. I'm not saying beat folk down, make them mad, all that, but the word of God is going to come all different kind of ways. Now, pertinent defined means this: having a clear, decisive relevance to the matter at hand. That's what we're about. Well, I'm about, I'll say. Having a clear, decisive relevance to the matter at hand. That's what God is always about. God's never about people being happy and people liking everything. I mean, now I understand in church circles, we got to dress it up, put a face on it, lipstick and all that. You know, I understand that marketing is a big thing. I get all that. Be positive and smile all the time and all that. There's a role for all that. There is. And there's a role, I mean, for sermonettes, because Christianettes need sermonettes. Okay, I get all that. Seven last words, you know what I'm saying? We're going to, you know, all that. But we need to be pertinent too. Amen, somebody? And really, you find out that, you know, it isn't grievous. It is not hard. It's not unsatisfying, really, because, you know, when God really helps us, it's like a good workout. When you work out, you're tired, you're sore, but you feel good. Amen. Because you did something meaningful. Amen, somebody? Amen. Let me go on. Now, let's be like Apollos. Say, I will be like Apollos. Look at Acts 18. I'm almost done here. Be like Apollos. Be like Apollos. Acts 18, verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. It's a pretty good start. Got a nice name from a nice city. Eloquent and knew the word. That's good. Just like you all. Yeah. Next verse. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. I love that. Here's a guy who already had gift, he had knowledge, he had zeal, he was accurate, and yet a man who could then yield himself to somebody to become more accurate, amen, to become better, to become sharper. Amen. We should never think we've learned enough or we're sharp enough, or, you know what I'm saying, I know enough. We should always be like Apollos, that people, other folk can take aside and show us something more clearly, more perfectly. I believe the Lord has already made himself quite clear. I'm trying to just elaborate. I think we're all clear that our seasons begin with planting in the place where God wants us to be planted. And our season becomes clear as we become sharpened by the word of God, by everything God said, by prayer, fellowship, all the things we said earlier. And then like Apollos, we are people who are willing to be helped, to be strengthened, who don't think that I'm already accurate, I'm already eloquent, you know, I got it all. No, but somebody who says, I need more of God. I need more understanding, and I'm willing to go into that place where I can receive it. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today, for reminding us of how important it is that we would be people in season who understand how we come into our seasons, and how seasons never fail because we don't become distracted.